The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada and is supported by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry, please go to apologeticscanada.com.
Welcome to the AC Podcast. Two big news items for you. The first one is that this marks the 100th episode of the AC Podcast.
Wow.
Whoop. Today is the day.
I can't believe that we've done 100 of these.
Yeah, this is
and
it.
And I've been here for most of them. I think, Steve, you have been here for all of them.
No, I've missed a couple
there.
But yeah.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, I guess there was a couple that you weren't there for and like a couple that I haven't been at.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
we've been here. Yeah.
Wow. And there are some of you that have listened
from the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning. God bless you. You are one of those. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and actually, it was interesting. I was listening to some of the first episodes that we recorded, and man, we've come a long way.
Yeah, some of them were horrible. I got to give a shout out though to Jeff Heppel. Just giving a shout out to him. There was a time there where we weren't so consistent with the podcast. It was not put out every week. And then there was a while there where we went like a couple months without doing an episode. Steve and I, you know, we really weren't sure if anybody was even listening. There were times we just didn't want to do it. But then Jeff would keep bugging us and be like, when is the next episode? You know, and there were other people as well that really got on our case and said, hey, we listened to this. We love this. Please keep going. And that's when we decided, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to stay consistent. And we've been amazed at the following that has developed and the people that listen. I'm still amazed. Well, we will cross the country, be at a speaking engagement, and we will meet handfuls of people that listen to the show on a regular basis. And then we get emails from people all over the country that listen to the show, even in the United States, all over the place. Amazed by it. So here we are, 100 episodes, looking forward to the next 100. Tell your friends about the podcast if you enjoy it.
I'm glad to be here for the second time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, congratulations, Terry.
Thank you. That's a milestone. Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Terry is the newest addition to the Apologetics Canada team. We are so glad to have you with us.
I am excited.
Welcome excited. Back to show two for you.
All right, let's get going.
We got important stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
President Trump.
My goodness.
Yeah, it should be President Steiger.
Did you call Trump?
I did. Yesterday I called it. I said, but I've been saying it for a while.
Yeah.
And I wanted to write it down or like video it because everybody's going to be like, yeah, sure you did, Steiger. No. Now, I have no idea if this is a good reason for calling it or not, and I'm curious to know what you guys thought as well, who was going to win and why. But a couple weeks ago, I heard that Obamacare was going to go up 24%.
Yeah.
Now, you need to understand, I'm from the United States. I got – all my family is from the United States, and I know how much they pay for medical. People in my family, on average, my family, is paying around $1,000 a month for medical
care. That's a mortgage payment right there.
It is. So that's not like some number out in the air. No. These are my family have told me with their mouths.
Wow.
They pay around – it's between $800 and $1,000 a month. And so
That's Obamacare.
That's Obamacare.
Wow.
And one of my sisters, that went up $300. Yeah. So as soon as I heard that Obamacare is going up 24%, I was like, and Trump's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who's going to be excited about that? Honestly, I think about the United States and their financial situation, and I pray for them, and you should as well. And those of you that are listening from the United States, like, we feel your pain. I mean, I do not see how that is sustainable. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for some of them, the lucky ones, their work pays for it. Mm-hmm. But my family, they pay that out of their own pocket. Right. Now, I mean that I don't see how that's sustainable.
Yeah,
that's a mortgage payment.
Yeah. There was an article that I was just kind of skimming through this morning that said something to that effect, right? That Donald Trump presidency is in a way an unintended legacy of the Obama administration because of the administration pushing some very unpopular policies like the Obamacare.
Yeah.
And so that kind of reminded me of that.
I think another one too, if I were to add to that, I think it's the American people feel that they do not have a voice. Mm. And I think that yesterday, America heard their voice. Mm. You know, the world heard America's voice. And I think in many ways it's whether or not you like Trump or not, this is the beauty of America, is that some guy who has zero training in politics and is a wrecking ball of a character, right? And again, whether or not you like him or not doesn't matter. What I'm saying is really interesting about the United States and fantastic is that even that guy can be elected as president.
Mm-hmm. One of the positive things yesterday was that the democratic process actually really shined. A lot of people came out.
And
a lot of those middle class working people, that's what really pushed them over the top. Yeah.
And there was a part of me that thought, can Trump even win? You know, because you get these conspiracy theories in your mind and think, is corruption so deep in the United States that it's controlling the vote, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, in many ways, I think too, there was a lot of frustration over the media. I couldn't even believe how one-sided it was last night until they couldn't pretend like Hillary was winning any longer and had to just show that actually Trump was winning. But it was unbelievable to me how one-sided the media has been throughout this entire thing. Mm-hmm. I think that this is part of the strength of the United States, though, is that the people have had a voice, and so that encourages me.
It was interesting to watch the commentators on these TV, right?
Yeah.
I mean, demeanor at the beginning was all right. Let's go.
Very positive.
Very positive. Election night. Let's go. And then as the time went on, wow, like it changed, and it was a shock.
It really was a shock for a lot
of them.
What are we going to tell our children tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah.
Well, the
yeah.
Trump one.
Yeah.
If I got quite a laugh out of watching the live cam on Hillary's campaign. I mean, you knew that the election was over when just watching that live cam. I mean, they were downtrodden. Yeah. And I don't see that lightly. I just not to make fun of those people. I mean, but it was interesting to watch. You know, you have a group of people that were absolutely confident that she was going to win.
Yeah.
And then this just kind of came out of nowhere. And this is something, though, that we've been talking about for a while. I mean, because this happened with Brexit, right? The whole nation's like, what on earth? You know, it's almost amusing, right? Because on one hand, they like, no way Brexit's going to go through, right? And then it goes through. And it reminds us how easy it is to become so insular in your culture that you are surrounding yourself by people that think the way that you do to such a degree that you are completely out of touch with reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if there's one thing that really stood out to me in this election cycle down in the States is just how polarized everything was. And I think one of the reasons, as Merkel pointed out in Germany, right? What she said was she actually criticized social media outlets like Facebook and things like that because these sites, their algorithm is such that it keeps showing you things that you're already interested in. And that makes sense from a commercial standpoint. But what happens when that starts getting applied to what kinds of news articles and things like that you see, right? So Trump supporters will continue to see things about Donald Trump that's all positive, and then Hillary Clinton supporters, they will see things that are really positive about Clinton and things like that. And so it was very polarized. And so in a sense, I'm not surprised that Clinton campaign was so confident to begin with and then
– surprised.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, who did you think was going to win, Steve?
I was actually calling Clinton.
Why?
I thought – Donald Trump, he just, I guess his character is just so bombastic and says all kinds of really horrible things that just, I mean, I have a daughter, right? And it just made me cringe some of the things that he said.
No, absolutely.
And so I'm like, well, the I guess the, that sort of thing would really put many people off, I thought. And I think in a lot of ways it has, but a lot of people still kind of chose his policies over his personal character.
Well, it was interesting, though, because at the same time, you had the WikiLeaks happening.
Right.
And so you have Clinton's character continually being challenged, and then with the FBI reopening the investigation. So you had it going on both fronts, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Terry? I was thinking
Clinton, for sure, yeah. You know, just listening to him in the debates and stuff, like, there wasn't much said about his policies, you know, and what he was going to do. There was just not much foundation there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just listening to him, I just felt like, where is he going? Like, it was so, like, unexpected, like, what the future is going to hold.
Yeah.
And Clinton is the establishment, right? She's been here for 30 years. People kind of want that, but obviously not. See, that's what I thought.
That's what really concerns me with – I mean, I'm glad, personally, that Hillary Clinton is not – getting into the Oval Office, but I'm thinking to myself, but at what cost, right? Because Donald Trump is so unpredictable, and there were certain things that he said.
However, maybe you could say that he's so unpredictable, he's predictable in that – and I think I've heard this from people. I have heard this from people that, yeah, Trump's corrupt, but he at least will tell it to you like it is. Like you're not wondering what he thinks or you know how debased he is. He's letting you know. Whereas Clinton, it's all hidden. You don't know how corrupt she is, but you know that she's corrupt.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that concerns me is some of the policies that Trump has been promoting, right? So one thing for me, I was born and raised in Korea, like most of you know. One of the things he said was, you know, I'm going to pull out the U.S. troops from the Korean Peninsula unless South Korea paid up more. And I'm thinking, my goodness. And there, and right there, there's the reason why Kim Jong-un from North Korea calls Donald Trump this inspiring, you know, amazing leader. And I'm like, when you have Kim Jong-un's endorsement, that concerns me.
And Putin's endorsement.
Yeah, exactly. That really concerns me. But, I mean, there were things, for example, like his pro-life stance. I mean, in the past, he called himself pro-choice in every sense of the word, that sort of thing. So he's kind of flip-flopped. I mean, granted, that was a long time ago when Donald Trump said that. But I'm just hoping, I'm just crossing my fingers that he's going to keep the promises that he's made.
Well, what's interesting about this election is that I mean, I wonder how long it's been since a president has had this much power. With Republicans having won both the Senate and the House,
right?
At the moment, Trump has a lot of power.
Yeah,
he has the potential to move a lot of bills.
The one thing that kind of I think his power is still going to be kept in check, hopefully.
Well, and, I mean, the American system's meant to keep power in check.
Yeah,
but, it's designed that way. Right. It's antiquated on purpose.
Right, because as you've seen with the Obama administration, what happened was, I mean, the president was Democrat, but the House of Representatives was controlled by the Republicans. So there was a bit of a gridlock, right? A stalemate kind of thing to keep things in check. And I think this time it's all Republican, but Donald Trump is very anti-establishment in a lot of ways. So I think if the Obama administration went through this whole gridlock between a Democrat and Republican House or whatever, I think this time it might be the establishment, the Republican establishment and Donald Trump. So there might be some check and balance there. Hopefully, I don't know what's going to happen, but
I think Obama had a lot of power in his first term. And then the second term came, right? And then that's when he lost the House or the representatives. I don't know much about politics or the setup down there, I guess. But anyway.
Well, obviously he began to just take executive orders and just move things through.
Right. But that was really concerning.
It was. But to be fair, Bush had done the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the commentators last night were saying that even with the presidents, there's such a polarization there. So we went from George W. Bush to Clinton, from Clinton to another Bush.
I was thinking the same
just
thing.
Very opposite. Now we had Obama and, you know, Trump is just the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't help but wonder if just the nation is never satisfied with its leader.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you want something different. And so that's why it constantly is flip-flopping. Yeah. So I was thinking about that. You're constant, you know, with this dissatisfaction and seeking something new, and it seems to be that it continually works that way.
What do you think might have happened if, you know, Obama, I mean, he's already run two terms, but let's say he could have run a third term. Do you think he could have won against Donald Trump?
No.
No?
I don't.
Okay. What do you think?
I think people are done with the Democratic Party. I mean, even the Democrats are done with the Democratic Party. I mean, that was one of the things that came out last night, is even in Democratic states or even in Democratic areas in states where Clinton should have won, she wasn't winning.
Right.
Yeah. All around the big metropolis cities, those rural people that were Democrats at one time, now jumped on to these working class white people kind of thing.
Yeah. I think some commentators were saying that this in a way is your, you know, middle class, working class, blue collar, sort of rebelling against the elites, social elites, and that when, for example, Hillary Clinton during her campaign called Trump supporters a bag of deplorables, they were obviously listening, you know. And I think there's a lot of this sort of almost grassroots movement kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, what I heard too was that Trump is just going to go into Washington and shake things up, right? You heard that a lot. It's the same, goes along the same line as that.
See, I can't help but think that the media helped Trump get elected as well. Because I think people were so fed up, I know I was, with how one-sided the media was, and that every time they talked about Trump, it was constantly negative. And I know, like, on a lot of media outlets that were very liberal, I mean, were showing very little of the negative of Clinton. And you know, it's just like you were just so – I think a lot of people are just so fed up with it that they wanted their voice to be heard, that, you know. And I think in a lot of ways too, by the way, why the media coverage was so surprised that Clinton lost is because they had been pushing so hard for her to win, that I think that they were just blinded.
And the interesting thing too is that, I mean, to be fair, these major news media outlets or whatever, they do criticize Hillary Clinton. But the interesting thing is when they do it, right? They will criticize Hillary Clinton, or at least this is what guys like very conservative commentators like Ben Shapiro would say, is that when they do criticize Hillary Clinton, it's when it doesn't really count, when she's already doing really well. Then they will start criticizing her a bit, just so that down the road when they're being accused of being one-sided, they'll be pointing to that and say, see, we criticize Hillary Clinton. But no, like when you pull that out, you know, it doesn't really mean much. In that sense, yeah, the media is very much one-sided. In fact, because I get so much of that already, when I'm looking for news articles, I tend to focus a little bit more on some of the more conservative news media outlets just to be a bit more balanced, right?
Well, that's kind of funny, because what I tend to do is I tend to watch the liberal news outlets so that I feel a little more balanced. But it's kind of funny what you're saying there, because I've actually grown really disgusted and annoyed with the liberal news outlets. I was going there because I wanted to get a different perspective on things. But I was getting – it just became that is the perspective. Right. You know, it's like, where would you go to find a counter perspective?
Right.
And so – I'm not even sure where I'm going to go for my news anymore.
Yeah. It's interesting now with Donald Trump in place. I mean, my Facebook feed just exploded with so many friends who are, especially in Canada, right? Because we tend to be a lot more left leaning. Just one thread after another of disappointment and what's going to happen.
You posted yesterday on your Facebook account, or was it today, that the Canadian immigration website crashed? Was that real?
Well, yes and no. It did crash, and everybody's thinking it's because so many people want to. There's a guy that I know down in Washington State. His name is Kevin, and he's a tech nerd, right? He knows his tech. And he said, "Well, if you actually look at the screenshot, the error is HTTP 500, which means most likely it's because of some malfunction in the codes, not because of the influx of web traffic. Having said that, there, you know, different places are reporting this surge of, like on search engines, right? The surge of how do I move to Canada, or people in the States looking for jobs in Canada, and there has been an increase in that for sure. And so that website crashing might not have to do with Americans wanting to move to Canada, but there are other indicators that, yeah, people are looking to.
There were a lot of jokes definitely out there, you know.
Oh, there are all these like Hollywood celebs that promised that they will move away if Donald Trump got in power. They're doing this, that sort of thing.
Well, Prince Edward Island was promoting a place where, you know, all Americans can come, the serene place that, you know.
Were they really?
Yeah. It was one of the Maritimes. I don't know if it was actually Prince Edward Island, but it was out there, yeah.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
There were some Hollywood celebrities that were saying, this one was saying, well, I actually already bought a house in another country just in case, but I might actually have to move there now.
What do you guys think is going to happen with Clinton now that the election is over?
I really don't know.
Do you think she's out of this corruption scandal, or do you think this is going to blow up on her?
I think there's probably, I mean, I think Donald Trump is going to go after her if he was at all serious about what he said.
Yeah.
He said, if I get into power, I'm going to throw you in jail. But, I mean, Donald Trump isn't exactly very, you know, clean either. And so
– well, you got to understand, too, he's playing a game.
Yeah.
He's saying what the people want to hear, right? He played a good game to get elected, right? Yeah. So now it's going to be – and I think this is a lot of people's fears, not just, you know – that, but everything he was saying, you know.
Do you really think the wall's going to go up?
Exactly.
Right?
You know,
are the Mexicans going to pay for it? Like, seriously. That. Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know that people even care that the wall goes up. They just wanted to know that there was a leader that would speak his mind that wasn't afraid of the establishment.
Now, the interesting thing is in the Philippines, I don't know the politics there very well, but I know the president there.
Yeah, they have a president very similar.
Very similar personality and things like that. And it sounds like, again, I don't know the Philippines politics all that well, but from the little few things that I've seen, it sounds like he's actually doing things that he said he would do.
He is and he isn't, right? Because he'll say things like when he was in China and said, oh, you know, we're done with the United States, you know, and we're going to kick them out and kick the military out. But then at the same time, the government comes back and says, no, he's just talking. We're not actually going to do that.
Right.
But when it came to crime, you know, then that's was dead serious, no pun intended. And there's been a lot of death.
A lot of executions, almost like impromptu.
Oh, it's street justice without question. You know, martial law that's been going on there. So you have it. It's both, right?
Yeah.
So yes, he is keeping his word on some things, and he's all talk on others.
Yeah. So the question is, with respect to Donald Trump, just which of the things that he said he was actually serious about.
But don't you think that's interesting that we've seen now in the Philippines? We saw this now with the United States, and you're seeing this even in the UK.
Right, Brexit. Where,
Brexit. But even with who's going to be coming in power, you're starting to see that it's those characters that are willing to speak their mind and that are not playing the political correct game, that those are the people that people are – you know, you're getting a sense globally that people are fed up with politics the way it's been done.
Do you think something similar might happen in Canada? I know –
I was wondering that.
Yeah, the Liberal Party tends to be very, very, you know, politically correct, and there's that kind of agenda being pushed, and a lot of
I don't people think are, Canada feels the squeeze that other places are feeling for that to take place, such as the Philippines has a major crime problem. Mm-hmm. You know, the United States has a financial problem. The UK is going to have a financial problem, right? That Canada, I mean, we've had relatively relative safety, relative good economy. Mm-hmm. You know, things haven't – I don't think that things have gotten bad enough for Canadians to feel
I think a big piece to the States and Donald Trump was this whole celebrity piece. And I don't think we have that up in Canada. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you look at Harper, he was like a book nerd and a, you know, writing, he loved to write that kind of stuff. We don't have those people that are way out there at all.
And don't you agree too, though, that Canadians aren't super involved in their politics? That they seem to me, from my time here in Canada, that they're like partially invested in their politics. Canadians seem actually more interested in U.S. politics than they do about Canadian politics.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, I've always been interested in the American more than Canadian, for sure.
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that, but I personally do know a lot of friends who are very interested in Canadian politics.
I'm going to go out on a farther limb. I'm not done yet. I'm gonna take a couple more steps out on this limb. I'm curious to see if I can fire some Canadians up with this. But I would actually argue that most Canadians, majority of Canadians, wouldn't even be able to tell you how the political system works in Canada. Mm. How do you feel about that one?
You know, there is, I think, some truth to that. I remember when I was, because I'm a naturalized citizen, right? I have an immigrant background. So before I got my Canadian citizenship, I had to take a little test. And it was about, you know, the responsibilities as a Canadian citizen and, you know, how the parliamentary system works and the head of state and all that kind of stuff. It's basically grade 10 social studies stuff, although I don't know what they teach now, but at least back then it was like grade 10 stuff. And then I would come up to some of my Canadian friends, like friends who were born here, and I asked them some of these questions, right? These are like the most basic things that you need to know as a Canadian citizen, which is why I learned it in order to become a Canadian citizen. I would say about 8, almost 9 out of 10 friends couldn't tell me.
Yeah. That's been my experience.
Yeah. And so that is – and I wonder if that's the case with Americans, probably a little less so.
I would say less so. But I also think that Canadian politics is more complicated than American politics.
Right.
I mean, even the fact that you just have two parties in the United States makes it vastly less complicated than the Canadian system.
My wife's American, so she took up Canadian citizenship about 20-some years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And she had to study for it.
Right.
And she's asking me questions at that time, and I'm like, what? No, I don't know that. You're going to know more than I do, right?
Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. I think there is a sense in which in Canada, because it's such a let me put it this way. I have heard it said that Canada is one of those really interesting countries that doesn't really have a strong sense of identity, but it does.
But it does.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things I've noted here, this might upset even more Canadians.
Go for it.
One of the things my friend always said that I just laughed about. And so he's an American that's also been living in Canada for almost as long as I've been living in Canada. And he said, you have to understand that America and the United States is like a husband-wife relationship. The United States is the husband and Canada is the wife. And the wife just wishes she got a little more attention from her husband.
Oh, yikes. Wow. Okay.
We're gonna get calls on that.
Yeah. Emails. All emails, please. Directed to.
Well, do you know what's funny about that, actually, is I just got an email today from an American organization, well-known, that is looking at coming to Canada to run a conference. And they were emailing me to get advice because they understood that things work different in Canada than they work in the United States. Hmm. And so I was giving them advice if they're going to come up here and do an event, you know, how would you do it? And so this is my argument for that idea. And it's simply this. Tell me, how much does it upset a Canadian when a speaker will come up into Canada and use only American statistics? Or will only use American stories, or comes up to Canada with the, hey, I'm American, you know, America, you know what I'm saying? Nothing upsets a Canadian more than those things, right? Why? Because they want to be recognized. The United States is always recognized, but Canada wants to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. But there is this sense of quiet pride, though. That's one thing that.
Well,
I've
I guess
heard.
That's what I'm getting. That. That's yeah. what I'm getting to. Is yeah. they do have pride,
exactly.
and they get yeah. frustrated when nobody recognizes that. You know what? Canada right. is a fantastic place, mm-hmm. and I love living here.
Yeah. yeah,
you know, and this is a wonderful country.
Yeah, we're not putting it out there as much as Americans, for sure. We're we're and a little more reserved that way, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that sort of. Temperament is appreciated globally too.
Yeah, we're more humble in it, right? Yeah. Yeah. But that's why I'm like, it's kind of like that wife that's saying, you know, has dressed up and is like looking for the compliment. You know, boy, you look beautiful tonight.
You're just like a great pastor, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out of time here, so we're. I'm sure there's a lot more that we can talk about.
Hey, look forward to next week, though, because we're going to be coming to you from San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, all three of us are going to the Evangelical Theological Society and Evangelical Philosophical Society conference down in San Antonio, Texas. And, thank you for joining us, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we'll come back next week from San Antonio.